From Topps comes the all-new digital card collecting app, free to download from iTunes or Google Play, Star Wars Card Trader.
For the first time ever, collect and trade everything from legendary 1977 Star Wars cards to new cards featuring exclusive content from Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
All from the comfort of your mobile devices, Star Wars Card Trader.
These are the cards you're looking for.
Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are, with Dan Z and Corey Club, the podcast you're looking for. This is. Yes.
For an entire generation, people have experienced Star Wars the only way it's been possible, on the TV screen. But if you've only seen it this way, you haven't seen it at all.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
We've been waiting for you.
The Force is strong here, even stronger than the coffee.
At last, where have you been?
Welcome to Coffee with Kenobi. Here are your hosts, Dan Z and Corey Club.
Hello, this is Dan Z, and welcome to show number 47 of Coffee with Kenobi, a Star Wars podcast that analyzes our favorite saga in a whole new way. With me is my good friend and co-host, Corey Club.
Hello, everybody. A special shout out to Mediocre Jedi, Mike Audette, Neil Lowry, Dennis Keithley, Angela Sauce, Mark Sutter, Jesse, and Torpedo Ted for their contributions to our Coffee with Kenobi Patreon page. By supporting our Patreon page, you too can win a coffee chat podcast of your own. Check out our webpage or the show notes for more information. You can also support our show through our Amazon.com and Fandango affiliate links on our site.
In today's show, Randy Theriault and Luke Siders from Legends Library join us for a cup of coffee as we discuss our topic for show number 47, the Legends line of Star Wars storytelling. We will also share our thoughts on The Force Awakens running time, the international trailer, TV spots, and Star Wars experiences coming to Disney's Hollywood studios.
In collector news, we look at The Force Awakens products from Disney Infinity and Entertainment Weekly's magazine covers. We also share more of your feedback and introduce our topic for show number 48.
And now, let's see what's brewing in the Star Wars universe this week.
Oh, wait, this is interesting.
You found something.
I'm about to let everyone in on the secret.
For our first news story, we have actual confirmation of the running time for The Force Awakens. It is 2 hours and 15 minutes long. Corey, if you're keeping score at home, that is 135 minutes total. What do you think?
Yeah, this is actually, I hadn't seen this news report, this official time length. And it's interesting to me because maybe in the past years, I feel like films have been shortened a little bit down to that hour and a half kind of, you know, if it's like a buddy cop movie or some type of a trilogy movie that they've kind of to narrow it down around that time. But, you know, you don't want to make it like Lord of the Rings, you know, 3 hours of battle scenes and things like that, which is great. Which is great. I mean, because you want that whole encompassness of, you know, you want to keep it going because you want to, you know, never want it to end type thing. And I've actually looked at my watch numerous times during a movie and thought, oh, great, I got another hour of this awesomeness.
I do that almost all the time. But like Freddie said when he was on one of the times he was on, he said, you know, it's actually nice at the end of a movie when there's actual dialogue in the last 30 minutes or so. So I agree with you. I think this is a nice balance. You don't want it too short, and you don't want it to feel like Avatar, which, you know, has a lot of things going for it. But if it's too long, it's too long. And we're going to be seeing this many, many times, of course, in the theaters. Which leads me to remind everyone, if you are going to buy your tickets online, may as well do it through coffeewithkenobi.com, right? Because they are an affiliate with us, and it helps our show out a little bit. And we all know, of course, that many of you who are listening right now have seen or are going to see the movie already and already have your tickets. But I think, Corey, it's safe to say that we're going to see it more than once, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've made multiple plans, obviously, with you and talk to some other friends, and I want to take my kids. We're going to take a family day and just go see it together and enjoy it. Because I think it's one of those movies that, you know, it's so great to be able to finally be so close to, you know, its premiere. And like you said, Dan, going through Fandango, it does give us a little kickback, and that's something that, you know, that helps us out too. Gives us, you know, more time and energy to be able to put more production value into the show as well. So. If you guys are looking for tickets or haven't got yours yet, check the link out on our webpage.
That's right, because you're going to see it more than once. May as well make a few extra purchases. Why not?
For our second news story, it has to do with a little bit of spoiler warning here. I guess, you know, we try to do our best to not spoiler things and talk, you know, theories and speak to stuff, knowledge that, you know, may be going on in the back of our brains. But as close as we get to The Force Awakens, more and more trailers have been coming out.
And you said spoiler warning. Do I need to disconnect?
You might want to disconnect a little bit. I don't think we'll bring anything up that's going to ruin the movie for anybody. We're definitely going to be spoiler free, as Dan is very, very, very closed off to some of these trailers that have come out, the international trailer and the most recent TV spots that have kind of debuted.
And to be fair to our listeners too, sure. Let's do it this way. You've seen these or some of them. I have not. So. Mm-hmm. Don't tell us what was in it, but how do you feel after you saw it? Are you glad you did, or do you wish you waited?
You know, it's interesting because you know, as a connoisseur of media, of Facebook and
Twitter.
Wow, that's
Twitter, a very French word.
Thank you very much. Yes. you know, as a fan of these movies, we follow a lot of friendships in Star Wars, a lot of you know, media outages as far as, you know, StarWars.com, Lucasfilm, things like that. And they're posting this stuff because they're promoting it. That's their job. So, you know, it comes across my feed. And as anybody knows, you know, they're scrolling on your phone. You're looking to take a break from work or, you know, over your lunch break or something like that. And, you know, it pops up. And for me, it's without sound. So I don't hear it right away. Now, in that moment, I can take a moment and pause the video and put my headphones in and listen. Or I can jump on my PC and check it out at work. And, you know, a bigger screen. And it's just like, I got to take a moment, do I do this and possibly see something I don't want to see? Or, you know, or do I just give in? And, you know, this, I'm just so excited because it's as a fan, I want to jump in and be like, oh, I want to just break down every, you know, second that goes by. And I really battled myself with this because recently I've gotten excited and I've watched both of these two spots here.
You gave in.
I gave in.
You bit the apple.
That's right.
You took all this time, all these years, and then you gave in.
Well, it's interesting. We've talked about this before, Dan. You know, in earlier fandom days of myself, I would break down trailers that have debuted online just because it was just so available. You know,
so you enjoy.
Yeah, it's something I used to enjoy. And now that I've been so close with this film and followed it through every production note and every character change and whatnot, and I feel like it's so sacred almost. I don't want to ruin any plot points I might have in my own head that might be going on. And I only watched either of these just one time through.
Are you glad you did? Like, do you feel like, gosh, it took so long, and now
the more I think about
it
now,
you and I and Jeff had an interesting take.
Yeah, we did. It's because we're all different minds and different fandoms, of course. But, you know, personally, am I happy I watched them? I am happy I watched them. I'm also happy that I only watched them once because I could get a little taste, and then I was okay. You know, I didn't – even thinking about it right now, I can't necessarily tell you what I saw or what I didn't see. I could think really hard and think, oh, yeah, that's what was a little bit different from the previous trailer that came out most recently, I guess it was the second official trailer that we saw during the football, Monday Night Football. So everybody's kind of seen that one.
That was the only like official actual
right, but
trailer.
I mean, we've all kind of seen that, you know, four or five times, you know, in a sitting or whatnot. So even this international one, to its effect, I mean, I can't tell you what was exactly different. Just think about it now because I've only seen it once. And sitting with a TV spot, it was maybe 15 seconds of scene, and I can't say, well, that was a little different, or, you know, something happened, dialogue was different here. I can't remember off the top of my head. And I'm okay with that. You know, I enjoyed it for the moment when it was in, but also I still feel, you know, less spoiler about it, so I'm going into
the film.
You
still feel fresh as a newborn babe.
That's right.
I actually, when I knew that these trailers were coming on, I was pretty good and pretty focused about just staying off of social media for a while.
And
you're always great about warning me.
Sure.
And I really appreciate that. But I thought it would be hilarious if I said, here's our thoughts on the international trailer. And I just wasn't going to talk and I was going to play crickets.
Yeah.
You've seen it, so you've ruined all my fun.
Yeah,
just kidding. Not at all.
Let me ask you this, though.
Because we love.
Well, let me ask you this, though. Do you feel like you're missing out on something? I mean, in some respect.
Not even a little bit.
Really?
I mean, like I said, it's almost like waiting. If I've been waiting, let's pretend like Christmas is every couple of years, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to suddenly give in and open my presents in early November. I'm still going to wait till Christmas, but I'm just different that way. I'm like I've said many times on the show, when my wife goes Christmas shopping, I don't even want to know what store she went to. Like mm-hmm. I'm just that silly about this. So no, I don't feel like I'm missing anything, because when I walk in that theater and I see the movie for the first time, those images, even though they're very, very small, just from these other little trailers, they're going to be new to me.
Sure.
The way I want them to be. So no, I don't think either way is the right way. It's whatever is the right way for you as an individual, as a specific fan. So either way, we're both going to have a wonderful time and just be beaming with joy, I'm sure.
I completely agree with that. And there was a most recent second TV spot that came out. I think it was either
today.
Yesterday. Was it today? Okay.
This is one came out, yeah.
And I did see that come to my feed, and I did not watch that one. So from now on, I'm not going to watch anything else. This is it. This is official right now. So from now until, you know, the debut, I'm off limits. So if I see it pop up my feed, I'm going to either keep on scrolling or, you know, just push pause. So
blur your eyes.
Yeah, that's right. Close my eyes for about 3 seconds. Yeah.
Our next news story is one that we talked about on our last show. I'm so excited about this. We're having our Coffee with Kenobi meetup at Walt Disney World November 27th, which is just really, well, it's next week at the time of this recording, but it's 6:30 to 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. And of course, it's on Main Street USA at Starbucks in the Magic Kingdom. We're going to talk all things Star Wars, have a live Q&A. Aaron Harris is going to be there, our special correspondent for all things Disney and Disney World. And we're going to have some major announcements, too, regarding our show. So it's going to be so much fun. And the only thing that's going to be make it not as fun for me is that you're not going to be with me.
You know, I'll be honest, I'm jealous. Because so much of what Anaheim was, and meeting fans and friends and just, you know, fellow Star Wars enthusiasts, it was just a great time, and I value those interactions, and I value those folks that I got to meet in real life, in a sense. You know, you talk to people online, you get to know them a little bit, and then you meet them in real life, face to face, and it's real. It really is. It's almost like meeting good friends after a very long time, and obviously that's what it is. But it's, you know, it's what we've been doing this whole entire time, Dan, is as far as, you know, making a podcast, having a community, having a fandom through this all. So it's to be able to do it in real life and just, you know, meet each other, shake hands, give hugs, whatever, and enjoy Star Wars in person is a great time.
I agree. It's going to be fun. And again, it's very tricky. It's because it's Thanksgiving and not everybody can just,
sure,
you know, appear in Orlando. And ordinarily, I could never do something like this. It just worked out well. We, the school I work at, we're doing a trip, and I'm one of the chaperones. Somebody's got to do it right.
Yeah, they twist your arm, right?
Yeah, they did. So I'm obviously thrilled about it and looking forward to it. Should we try the Periscope thing again? Maybe
won't
Periscope your shoes like we did
Force Friday, yeah. No, that'd be great. I'd love to tune into a Periscope movie or interview. It'd be fun.
Okay, stay tuned to Twitter for all the news on that one. And we hope to see you all there.
Our next news story, Dan, you spoke to going to see Disney, Disney parks. Obviously, everybody knows that Star Tours is there, and it's a big draw. I think I love going on that, and they're constantly updating that, and most recently updated with the prequels and whatnot. They have a new, I guess it's experience for Hollywood Studios. You want to talk to that a little bit?
Oh, man, and anyone who's been looking online at Inside the Magic and some of the Disney blogs and StarWars.com just did something that our friend Matt Martin did. But all these experiences for Star Wars are coming. They've already opened up the launch bay at Disneyland, and they're going to open it in Disney World. And wouldn't you know it, they're opening it in December, a week after I'm there. Like a couple days after I'm there, it's going to be open. So that's sort of hard. But you know what? It looks amazing. And some of the things they're doing, they're having the launch bay. It's very much like a museum with behind the scenes, some of the costumes and weaponry and props from the films, special exhibits behind the scenes. There's all kinds of merchandise, which of course makes me really happy. And then you get your picture with Chewbacca or Darth Vader. So that's pretty fun. And then Star Tours, they've added a new scene, and it appears to be the scene with Jakku that we've seen so many times in these trailers. There's a Jedi training trials of the temple, which is pretty cool. It's going to have it's just like the Jedi Academy that you've seen. Sure. But not only going to face Vader, but they're going to face the Seventh Sister from Rebels.
Yeah, that's interesting. I saw that aspect. Huh? That's pretty cool. They're tying in Rebels with that experience. I know that when we were at Disney about 2 years ago this time, we were unable to do Jedi training. It got rained out, so we weren't able to get to that. But we like to do a behind-the-scenes photo op with Vader and some stormtroopers and stuff, which I'd never done before, which is kind of, they give you signs behind the scene looks of what, you know, the, I guess where you walk up, where Star Tours is at, you go behind an area. And I'd never done that before at Disney, to go behind the scenes and just kind of see what goes on back there. So it was kind of cool and a different aspect of what that, but this is a lot of fun. And this is definitely something that I'd be looking forward to next time we go to Disney.
I know no one feels bad for me. I get to go to Disney.
Yeah.
But the fact that this is going to open a week after I'm there, it's a beautiful thing, but it's challenging. But I have a feeling we'll be out there soon. If there is a truly downside to it, it's that they did announce officially that Star Wars Weekends is no more. And that's unfortunate. I know Aaron and a lot of the guys were having a hard time, and our friends of from all over the place, and it is too bad. And you didn't get to experience Star Wars Weekends, but I assume that someday we're going to get to not go back, but we'll go together and just be able to experience Star Wars and everything that they're going to do with Star Wars. It's going to be basically going on constantly with the launch bay and all the other things going on. So while we're going to lament the loss of Star Wars Weekends, there's going to be so many things going on with Star Wars at both parks, on both coasts. So I think it's ultimately a win, don't you?
It is. I think they're shutting down that experience to open up new experiences too. I mean, they talk about this 14-acre Star Wars themed land we've all keep hearing about through the, you know, Lucasfilm and Disney and such. And that's going to be a big experience, and that's going to be a big property for them to put together. I know that most recently we went back and saw the Bell's Castle experience. They had opened up Fantasyland. And I remember going there before that, and it was being constructed. To be able to go through that new experience was a lot of fun. We really enjoyed that. It was a lot of fun. So, this is something that we've always dreamed about, a Star Wars theme park, and we're going to get it. This is going to provide that for us as fans. And I think that alone is going to be very open up doors to who knows what, you know, all kinds of stuff. So, you know, will Star Wars Weekends return? Who knows? Maybe it's rolled into a brand new experience that we never expected. So,
with the launch bay, and we're going to have special stuff going on in the beginning of the year too, with different opportunities for fireworks and merchandise and a lot of gorgeous stuff. As I said, be sure to, and we'll put some links in the show notes, but there's some great video walkthroughs of what's going on that they've already opened in California. So there's so much to see and do and to experience. We haven't even talked about all the things that Disney is doing. When The Force Awakens comes out, there you can see the movie, you know, at Downtown Disney, now called Disney Springs. There's stuff going to be on specifically in the parks that is already sold out. It was a special ticket item. So this is just, wow. It's getting close, man. It's getting so close. Before you know it, we're going to be doing Coffee with Kenobi after already having seen The Force Awakens, which seems hard to believe.
Well, eventually, you know, obviously, Dana, we've talked about obviously making, you know, Coffee Kenobi trip down there to Disney and experiencing that way. So who knows what we got up our sleeves as well. So it's a matter of logistics and timing and whatnot. So we're still planning, and I think Disney's still planning to give us fans and a great experience. So stay tuned.
Han Solo, Rebel Soldier, Lando Calrissian, and Bespin Guard, each sold separately. From Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back Collection, new from Kenner.
Looking? Found someone you have, I would say,
Your lightsabers will make a fine addition to my collection.
First, during collector's news, we've got a lot of excitement going on with video games. Obviously, at the time of this recording, Battlefront is going to drop real soon, and so many people, whether you're a diehard Star Wars fan or not, are very excited for this. But I'm still very much enjoying Disney Infinity, and some new power discs were revealed, and we got a press release with that we put up, and they do a couple of things. We've got Poe's Resistance jacket, where he's going to be able to wear that when you have that figure. We've got a tactical strike of the Resistance, a quad jumper, which is a new vehicle that was revealed through this set, and then Finn's Stormtrooper costume. And the way these discs work is you put them on the base of the Disney Infinity character when you're putting it on the stand, and then it gives them the new abilities or the outfits or what have you. And it's pretty neat. It's a nice little collectible, too. Another fun way to enjoy the Star Wars universe through Disney Infinity.
Well, the other thing, too, is this is just a fun set to collect. We've talked about this numerous times on the show.
Yes.
But this set does not hit, I think, until December 18th or around
that
date, because I know they're truly trying to play close to the vest as far as, you know, what key elements are going to be in the film. And I'm sure something that will transition over to this console and be able to play in some of the, you know, atmospheres and some of the universes that will come up in the film. So it's exciting to see this kind of move over to this. And I know my kids love this little series, and I wish we could play it more often. I know you got some time to play it as well to you know, jump online and play as different characters. I think it's just so much fun to play as your favorite character. There's so many they've got out so far, and you know, to be able to jump on as Finn or Rey or Poe Dameron and be able to take on the Empire and, I don't know, do whatever you may do. And, you know, it's just a lot of fun to imagine the possibilities.
It is. It is. And like you said, they're great collectibles. And Disney had told us, look, the reason we, because I asked him about, hey, you know, when can we expect to see The Force Awakens set? And they said, well, it's going to be on the 18th, but I would suggest seeing the movie first.
Oh, okay.
Because there may be some spoilers, which of course makes sense. So really, this is as close as we're going to get to an actual video game adaption of the movie. And they've pretty much said we're not doing video game adaptions of films anymore. This is as close as you're going to get. And it's got the Disney fun, the Disney flair to it that we've loved so much.
For next collector news, we got introduced to another great magazine, Entertainment Weekly. Did their great cover design for their latest installment of the magazine. Recently, they did, I was maybe during there in the summertime, they did like a summer spectacular special. It had Kylo Ren on the cover.
That was in the early fall, late summer.
Was it? Yeah. Okay. I was trying to think. But that was a great kind of a posed shot, studio shot of Kylo Ren in the forest there in the snow. I remember still getting that cover from you.
Yeah.
I did like kind of a handoff. And that was fun to track down, too. I think it was fun to see where it was at. And this most recent one has got four different collector covers. We've got Han Solo, Rey, Finn, and R2-D2 and C-3PO looking very very posh in what they're doing as far as, you know, being surprised or in action or just a dramatic. So they all look great. The covers look wonderful. I think we've talked about this for a few texts. I think I texted you, here's our next hunt that we have to go check out. So
that's right.
Have you got your issue yet?
Yeah, I went to what, 9 or 10 stores looking for the Kylo Ren cover, and I just thought, all right, I got to renew. So I renewed my subscription just for stuff like this.
Okay.
And I knew I was only going to get one cover, and I know it was fun. I know Aaron Harris got R2 and 3PO, and Jeff McGee got the Rey one. I got Harrison Ford.
Nice.
I know. So that was pretty great. That was the main one I wanted, and Jeff has offered to send me his Rey copy, so I'm excited about that. They're all gorgeous. I'm still not quite used to C-3PO with a red arm. Obviously, we're going to find out very shortly through the comic what's going on with that. But yeah, these are awesome. And since we are talking about the magazine, there's, you know, 32 pages of on-set secrets. And you and I and Jeff have pretty much made a little pact with ourselves. We're not opening the magazine until we've seen the movie. So if you're looking for insightful discussion and discourse on what this magazine provides, this is not the podcast you're looking for.
I think this is the first time we've ever said that.
It is.
Maybe it is. Yeah. I mean, we support all podcasts as far as, you know, what they detail and what they give out, and more power to them. But here you're not going to get it from us. Maybe we'll discuss it after the movie premieres, maybe some of the insights we kind of got to look back at, some of the things we missed. But personally, for me, I'm going to try and look for this as well. I think I'm going to look for the Finn cover. I don't have anything that's Finn yet. And this is a really cool shot of
John Boyega.
John Boyega, I said Jason Boyega. But yeah, it looks great. And I think it's a good collectible to have. I think a magazine cover gives it some personification as far as date-wise and where you were when you know, this was all happening. I think it's kind of a cool, it's like holding a newspaper, you know, when a big event happens. I think it's up there like that. So definitely go out and pick your copy up. Let us know what you guys think of the covers. I think the Harrison Ford cover, too, I want to mention. It's very reminiscent of, you know, that same shot. He's kind of that promo shot he's got from the original trilogy.
Yeah.
Very, very Han Solo-ish. He's all there in glory. No, it looks great. He looks cool. I mean,
he's ready to be Indiana Jones again. He just
needs all these in the fedora and a whip, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm ready to see that too with him back in the saddle, if you will. But, you know, as much as close as we get, the more excited I get about the stuff coming out. And each of these, even if it's as small as a magazine cover, it gets me even more excited as far as, you know, these actors. I've got to know them so well. At the beginning of this, I was always kind of like, oh, I don't know who these new characters are and who is this guy? What does that mean? And, you know, who is it? You're always speculating your own mind and stuff. But, you know, I just see, like, Rey, and I was like, oh, she looks great. She looks so cool, so confident in this promo. Same with Finn. He's on point there. So I'm excited. I'm just amped up to this movie.
Hey, it's Dan Z.
And Corey Club.
From Coffee with Kenobi. And we are excited to let you know about the Star Wars Card Trader app from Topps.
Yeah, Dan, you remember those cards that came out in 1977, the good old days? Well, they're back again. Yeah, so it's the Star Wars Card Trader app. It has them all, as well as fantastic images from The Force Awakens, The Clone Wars, Rebels, and much more.
Absolutely. You've got your favorite characters, memorable scenes. You've got key moments. It's all there. You get credits every day for free from the app, which is available from iTunes or Google Play. Open packs from the cantina, trade with your friends, and enjoy these amazing Star Wars memories as you take your first step into a larger world.
There are so many different sets to choose from also, and there's so many great cards to chase. There's special inserts, there's rewards for completing sets and variants. It's everything you love in collecting from a galaxy far, far away.
The Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps.
These are the cards you're looking for.
Hey everybody, this is Randy Therio.
And this is Luke Siders of Legends Library. And you are listening to Coffee with Kenobi with Dan Z and Corey Club.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
Luke, you're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
I must be allowed to speak.
You've taken your first step into a larger world.
Our topic for show number 47 is the Legends line. What are some of the more iconic stories from this amazing line that speak to you? What makes these works so powerful? And what do you think should still be canon? What also makes a good story? Joining us on this topic are the hosts of Legends Library, Randy Therio and Luke Siders. Randy and Luke have been members of the Coffee with Kenobi family since October of 2014 and have been a staple of our podcast ever since. We are excited to have them on Coffee with Kenobi. Welcome, Randy and Luke.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey,
it's so awesome. We always talk about this, Corey, whenever we start shows, but sometimes the most fun about podcasting is just a few moments when you first get to talk to your guests for the first time. And Randy and I have been friends for a while now, and he was a great contributor to the show. He sent us some clips. You hear him every time on our shows at the end because he does the great voice work. And then he suggested something about doing a podcast looking at the expanded universe, and it's been magic ever since, hasn't it?
Magic is all right. It's
force.
Magic.
It's been the it force. Has. Yes, the force has been strong with us because a Legends Library has been such a wonderful addition to our family and kind of opened the floodgates to so many other great things, comics with Kenobi and other things coming down the pipe. So we're very excited to have you both on. Can you go ahead and tell us really quickly sort of how you got involved with Star Wars fandom and podcasting in general?
Well, I have had the opportunity to share via email on your show before. I first saw Star Wars in 1977. My dad took me I was 5 years old at the time. My dad took me to see Star Wars at Cine Capri Theater, which at the time, it doesn't exist anymore, but at the time it was the theater to see a movie in Phoenix, actually in Scottsdale, Arizona. And I don't remember much about the movie because I was so young, but I do remember the car ride home and turning all the radio knobs and the AC, the air conditioner heater knobs, like I was flying in the Millennium Falcon. I was Chewie and Dad was Han Solo. And I was lost in a world of imagination from that point on. So that's how I got started with started in the fandom. It's connected to a memory with my dad, and I've loved Star Wars ever since, so...
All right. Well, I guess my fandom kind of started when I was younger, too. I think my dad was watching it on TV and asked kind of what it was. And he said Star Wars. So I watched the end. It was episode 4, like the Death Star scene with X-Wings and all that. And then next time we went to the store, we went and got it was from Expanded Universe. It was a Luke Skywalker figure where he's in like red armor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if either of you know about that or what that's even from.
Yeah.
But that was my first Star Wars action figure, and after that I started buying more and more, and now there's a tub at my parents' house. So
that was the 2-pack. It was from the Legends. They had like a little sample pack where they had something from it was like an episode of the Legacy comic books line. That particular 2-pack was from the Legends or the Legacy comic book line, and they had a couple characters.
That's right. That was probably what, 97, 98, I'm thinking off the top of my head.
Probably somewhere around there, yeah.
Sounds about right. Well, you guys have told us about your Star Wars fandom and how you fell in love with Star Wars, and we kind of talked about this already, and I told very much a Cliff Notes version or a Spark Notes version of it, if you will. But how did Legends Library come about? And I'm more interested specifically in how you two connected and knew that you had a chemistry that was right for your podcast.
Well, actually, if you don't mind me starting off, Randy.
Yeah, go ahead.
Randy's a pastor at the church I was going to, and we started talking a little bit. And as we would go to little functions, somehow Star Wars got brought up. And then it just started more and more and more. We started talking about it. And then, you know, we'd go hang out at Barnes & Noble and talk about it. And I think it was like after a while, we'd sit there for an hour talking about all these Star Wars subjects, like Legends and the movies. And we'd kind of just decided, hey, wouldn't this be cool if we just kind of had a conversation on the air about some of these books, see what people thought about them, try to get everybody involved. What about, you have anything to add, Randy?
Yeah. During that time when we were first hanging out and first kind of just hanging out as buddies, I was really into listening to podcasts at the time. And it was the Forcecast. Rebels Radio hadn't come out yet, but the Forcecast was out. And then you guys started your show. And I felt like, as a podcast, I found home, because you guys talk about Star Wars like I would talk about Star Wars, and and so I found a podcast home, and it was a total shot in the dark as far as how the podcast, the Legends Library podcast. Honestly, when I contacted you guys, I thought there was no way. I just thought it was a long shot, and the fact that you said, yeah, let's give it a try. Let's try the Legends Library podcast. I was goofy excited, and we kind of brainstormed on what we would want the show to kind of look like. And then we got Mark Thompson for that first interview, and it was curtains from there. we were hooked.
That's right. Yeah.
And so that was a huge thing, that first interview. And we're very, very honored to be a part of what you guys are doing. I love your guys' attitude towards Star Wars. I love your humility. I love the fact that you lift other fandom, you know, other fans up. And it's all the bloggers that you have, and your other guests that you bring on, and you really give a voice to not just for yourselves, but for the community as a whole. And that's why I feel like I found home. And so we are very honored to be a part of what you guys have done.
Thank you so
much. Yeah,
I seriously can't tell you how much that means to us for you to say that. It's completely the vision of our show, and it's just very humbling and gratifying. And, you know, there's always a plan to things, and it mm-hmm. just works so beautifully. And you're two... And your chemistry, and I think that's an important thing that Corey and I have always emphasized, family first and friendship first. So it's really neat to hear you from that perspective. And I remember, and I'm not sure if even Corey knows this. Actually, I'm sure you probably do, Corey. But when we first talked about it and we said, all right, let's give it a shot, you guys sent in a quote, audition tape, end quote. And that was the first show, because there really was no reason to do an audition as soon as we heard like the first 5 seconds of you guys talking and vibing with each other. So everything's been wonderful ever since. And so much fun stuff to go on.
Well, I also want to mention, Dan, too, I remember when Randy would contact us and he had sent some voiceover work, just our way to get our perspective on it, and had mentioned, hey, wouldn't mind doing some voiceover work for you guys as an intro and outro thing. And I was like, this guy has got it nailed from the get-go. And so I still have those still ring in my ear. We still use them today. I mean, it's
that's right.
It's I don't know. It was just on your own accord. I think you approached us with just a humble heart, and that impressed us alone. So it wasn't necessarily, you know, oh, you have to have this kind of certain kind of fandom or this kind of connection. We're just like, you just, you know, a shot in the dark type thing, and we rolled with it, and I'm glad we did. So yeah. So you know, the other thing too is, you know, we talk about legends, and I think maybe some of the folks that are listening aren't necessarily too keen on the show, and maybe you're just listening for the first time too. And legends, I want to kind of put out there is the legend line of the books, and the also the newer version of the canon books too. So, any folks who are looking to jump on board with these guys and check out some of the past titles they've talked about and some of the interviews they've had, some great interviews. You mentioned Mark Thompson; he was on one of my lists originally when we first started doing this podcast. That was a huge get, and I remember you guys approached that with us, and I was like, go for it. Absolutely. So that's huge. I think he's a great guy too. Also, I just want to get your perspective too. You know, we talk about legends and some of the more canon books. What makes some of the legends line and stories more iconic for you, and kind of speak to you as far as the books that they are?
yeah, that's a tough one. I guess, I mean, now looking back on it, I guess it, because that's, I mean, that's what it was. I mean, I guess Expanded Universe to us, it wasn't officially canon, but it kind of was. So I guess to me, it's just kind of looking back on something that it's, there's a lot of nostalgia there. I don't know if it's like that with you guys too, but like when you go back and read through Thrawn and stuff, it's stuff that I was like, man, that was some important stuff back then. And even when we talked about before, they stand alone as good books if we get away from the legends and being angry stuff. They're still great books, and there's nothing taken away from that.
Absolutely. One of the things that really draws me to the legends line is the care in the character development. You know, Luke had mentioned, you know, Grand Admiral Thrawn, but that's just one of the many characters that over the years of reading legends books or Expanded Universe books, I really connected with the characters. There are favorite characters that I have they don't even get any screen time. They're just written well, and there are characters that you are endeared to and that you fall in love with. And so when I think about, you know, answering that question, I have to say, you know, it's got to be the characters. Maybe I see myself in some characters, or maybe I see somebody I wish I was, or maybe I see something about a specific character that I didn't like, but was, or that was evil, and I kind of liked that they were that evil, or whatever it was that about a particular character. I think that's what really was disappointing for me when I first found out that they were kind of, I don't want to say rebooting, but they were kind of resetting the books and resetting the storyline, because I felt like all those characters, I was invested in them and I cared about them, and I was looking forward to finding out, you know, future stories about those characters, and so it took me some time to kind of get over that, and I know that the books are still there. I know I can read them at any time, but when you're invested so deeply into a set of characters or a list of characters, you want to continue to hear about them. And so that's the thing about the Legends line of books that I love so much is, are those characters. And they're Star Wars-y characters, but they're, I don't know. I think that's the true answer to the question, Corey.
Sorry to butt in. Those are great points too, because we just got done doing our Rebel Commando, the second episode, and that book, 000, is straight up character driven. Yeah. Like when you look at the plot of that book, it's not really the best plot, but it's all the characters that go through that entire series of books, and it endears you to the regular clone troopers right there.
It does.
Transfers over to the movies. And then, you know, when you watch the Clone Wars TV show, you're thinking of all these other clone troopers and the ARC troopers. And so really the character development is just very good.
So it sounds like you're saying, of course, the Thrawn trilogy is an instant classic for anyone. But it sounds to me like you're both saying that while there are certain stories that are poignant, it's really these characters and how they come to life for you as a Star Wars fan. That's what speaks to you when you think about the Legends line.
Absolutely. And I can give you an example of how the books have made a difference, even like this week or last week, like how even though they've been called Legends and kind of pushed to the side, and now we have the canon series, but here's the example I wanted to bring up, that how relevant these books still are to the current timeline. There's that scene where in the Rebels cartoon where Ahsoka and Rex, they see each other for the first time in forever.
Mm-hmm.
And they're face to face, and there's just a few words, and then she just hugs him. And if you've read the books from, you know, the books No Prisoner, Wild Space, like those Clone Wars books, you know that those two had spent time together. When Anakin needed somewhere to put his Padawan so he could go spend time with his wife, Ahsoka was put with Rex, and Rex taught her how to be a soldier. And so I had a lump in my throat when they were face to face, and then she just hugged him like a big brother, like a father. That was an emotional moment for me, because in No Prisoners, they were, that was the relationship that they had, and it fit. That hug and those facial expressions, it fit with those storylines. And that book those series of books are absolutely relevant to that very moment. And it made a difference, even though the books have been, you know, were written years ago, it made a difference in that moment. And so when you look back at the material that was written in the past, it doesn't, and it has been made legends, it doesn't mean that it's out of sight, out of mind. It still has relevance today because of the fact that those characters still exist and those characters are still there. And so I do feel like they're very relevant, even though they've been kind of pushed over to the Legends kind of mentality, or whatever that is that we're calling that now.
That, you know, you make a good point, Randy, and I kind of had a follow-up question bubbling in my mind, and you kind of pushed it out there for me, where I was going to ask, you know, having read, you know, a lot of these Legend lines, do you see, you know, bits and pieces in other canon forms, in a sense? You know, we have yet to see the film, of course, but you know, like you said, you make a great example of Rebels and Clone Wars. I'm sure there's little specks here and there, and you know, even just throughout, you know, even the comic series and stuff, because like you said, it's not necessarily a dead series or a line of books. Obviously, you know, during, you know, those times where those were written, it was a very interesting time where the, you know, the franchise was still kind of moving along, and these books were really carrying the heavy weight, doing the big lifting as far as keeping fans interested, keeping them, you know, talking, conversation going. And like you said, it really relied on characters. You know, you base off everything in a book on characters and what you make up in your own mind, and you come to understand them and almost love them, in a sense, because you know their story, even if the big characters we all see on screen. So, yeah, I think it's a great transition to the crossover between, you know, what we have now, I guess, and then what has come before that.
Absolutely. And the fact that the franchise is in good hands with the story group, you know, with Leland Chi and Pablo Hidalgo being on that story group or on that board or whatever, on that story group, they know this material backwards and forwards. Yeah. They were the keepers of this material. And so we can trust that as stories continue to come out and new content continues to come out, but there's that subtle kind of look back to the stories that already exist. And I think that we've seen little glimpses here and there, you know, when Rex is now training Ezra as a soldier, you know, and there's that debate between, you know, am I a Jedi? Am I a soldier? I'm being trained in both. Like, we're gonna continue to see little snippets and of the Legends, or little glimpses of the Legends line, kind of make its way to the surface. And I feel when we first see our first big character, I feel like those of us that are fans of the Legends books, we're gonna lose our minds, you know. If, you know, and Luke and I have talked about this, and Luke, you can kind of speak to this. You know, if there's a moment where we see Thrawn on the screen for the first time, or a voice, or a name, or you know, or just those red eyes, or you know, to see a character that we love so much make its way to the canon, you know, make its way to canon, or Darth Bane, or you know, whatever character it may be, when that first big character hits the screen, we're gonna lose our minds.
Yeah. It would definitely be like a shade of hope too, because I mean, there are some books like Plagueis, you could throw that book back in there, and I don't think it would really change anything except add content to Episode 1 and Episode 2.
Absolutely,
because that goes into that a lot. But I mean, I don't know, Darth Bane. I mean, we see him in the Clone Wars show too, so there's just like little hints here and there of. Who knows? Maybe they will add it. Maybe they won't. But they have that option now, which yes. gives them, you know, they can get rid of all the bad books and the good ones.
Sure.
And,
yeah.
So
and there's a smattering of both. I think the thing that, and I've talked about this before on our show, but the thing that sort of weaned me off, it wasn't really so much a wean as much a I cut the cord to keep this mm-hmm. metaphor going, is that when Chewbacca died. I was done with the expanding universe for probably 10 years. I really was. I was so upset about that. And I warmed up to it, and people like John Jackson Miller brought me into the fold, and just kind of things were going on when Disney purchased Lucasfilm. And Steve Santweed, of course, has said on our show that expanded universe Legends line is not canon. It was never canon, but they were always great stories. And they are great stories. Some, mm-hmm. as we said, have we spoken to are stronger than others for myriad reasons, but they are legends, and legends imply something mystical, something powerful, and implies good storytelling. So gentlemen, what makes these works so powerful to you? And I know you've addressed the character aspect of it, but which of these in your mind, if the story group came to you and said, Randy and Luke, I want you two to pick a couple of books from the expanding universe and you're going to make them canon. Well, gentlemen, use your power wisely, because, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. That's still a Disney thing. So what do you think, guys? And Corey, let's throw the gauntlet at you too.
Sure, yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm going to throw a monkey in wrench right away and say it should not be the Thrawn trilogy.
Okay.
Mm. And I'll tell you why. Well, for
okay,
one thing.
Right. Okay.
For Go one ahead. Thing, read Aftermath, which you have. Okay. And then let's see what The Force Awakens does. And then we'll look and see if we need the Thrawn trilogy as canon.
I got you.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
But that's just me. That's just cool. One simple man.
Luke, I'm going to let you go first. I think both of you.
There's two of them. I'm battling between a couple of them.
Nice. We'll allow a tie since you're such a good guy.
Well, thanks. I mean, I would love to see Bane in there, and I'd love to see them go back into that time period. I mean, there's so much you could do with that. Movies, video games, books. It's all wide open, and he's just such a big character, and his effects of what he did with the Rule of Two go so far into the series. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with Force Awakens, if there's going to be two there, or what's going to happen. But, I mean, it's just... So much content back in that Old Republic that I like to see explored. And then the other one is obviously Republic Commando. I know they can't because of what happened at the Clone Wars, but I'd love to see that story move forward and explore more of the clone troopers and the ARC troopers and all that.
Or complete it at least.
Well, that would be, yeah. Give me an ending.
An ending. Yeah, ending would be nice.
What about you, Randy?
Oh, man. Well, definitely Truce at Bakura. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. I would say that Plagueis has to be considered as one of it has to be, and it's already canon. Like, so it has to be. It has to be a part of that. I'm really trying to be responsible here, like you said, Dan, because I have favorites, but
sure. Well, but favorites at the same, is good.
Yeah, but at the same time, I want to be. I guess I like. Okay, I'm not going to pick my favorite. I just got to be responsible, and it's got to be the Bane trilogy because he was the foundation of the rule of two, and if there's no rule of two, there's no Plagueis, and there's no such thing as Darth Vader, and and the rule, the possibility of a rule of one, and I mean that is just so it's such an integral part of Star Wars lore, and to know that would be considered canon, and it already, like I said, it already is, and if you take it out, I think that, I mean, obviously the movies stand alone, but it's just too cool of a part of Star Wars lore and Star Wars history to take out, to leave out. So I couldn't say anything else and put something else in its place besides Darth Bane and Plagueis.
Yeah.
And if I could somehow push a button here on my keyboard and guarantee myself that everyone who listens to the show has read Aftermath, we could really open up some interesting dialogue. Mm-hmm. So we'll obviously can't do that, so we'll save it. But I like what you both said, and there's just a rich history there, and I thought that your episodes of Legends Library where you covered those books were compelling because, full disclosure, I have not read those books. But when I heard what you guys said about them, it made it sound so strong to me. And I think also, and I want to hear what Corey has to say too, but for me, putting Plagueis in the canon would be just a natural because it's beautiful and so well done. And James Luceno is phenomenal. It was fun to talk to him. But I also think with what Marvel did with Star Wars number 7 and the Kenobi one-shot, it's almost like they were sort of nodding at John Jackson Miller anyway. Mm-hmm. And put it in there. I mean, certainly aspects of it, but I don't know. Corey, what about you?
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I mean, Darth Plagueis is a big favorite of mine. I really enjoyed that book, just everything about it. Kenobi was a wonderful book. I'm surprised that isn't already canon in some rights, some respects. Like I said, I got to go back to maybe some of my favorites and some that just have stuck with me over the years. And one that just always has stuck with me, and I need to pick it up again, read it again, but it's I, Jedi.
Stackpole.
And, yeah, it was by Stackpole and Karan Horn.
What'd you call me?
No, it's written in a way where it's like you're him. You're that Jedi, and you're going through the trials, and you construct your own lightsaber, and you're looking to make amends for your life and figure out who you are. It's almost it's the telling of Luke Skywalker, but in just a different way, And you got that enjoyment of discovery, but in a different perspective. Everyone wants to be the Jedi, and everyone wants to be, a certain character and stuff. And this kind of felt like this was written for that type of person. So I think for me, that would be really cool to be able to explore that, in canon era and even a film era or whatnot. Another one I got to throw out there too is Jax Pavlin from the Jedi Twilight series of books, the Coruscant Knights.
The Coruscant Knight books.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to those yet myself, but it's kind of like that hard boiled feel to it. He escaped the Order 66 type thing, and he's looking to solve mysteries kind of on the Jedi and the as far as the galaxy goes and stuff. So it's an interesting twist. I think it's kind of cool. So.
Two great choices, especially that I, Jedi, because of the perspective that it's written in.
We might have to pick that as one of
the I love this, and you'll see why in a few minutes, because I've got a question about that. So very good.
So, well, what's that? I'd love to hear. Now I'm curious. What's the question now?
There's a rhythm to this. We'll get to it.
Sure. All right. Baby stepping.
No, it's Corey has a really interesting thing that I want to hear what you guys have to say about too.
Sure. So, as we talked about these stories and some of the ones we like and some we'd like to see to come to fruition as far as canon goes. To you guys, what makes a good story? Pick up a Star Wars book and read it and kind of be interested in who's in the characters and whatnot. And maybe not just Star Wars, maybe just any stories in general that pique your interest. I know it's difficult for me as a reader to go to a bookstore and find, you know, a book that, you know, really hits me hard. I mean, I could buy tons of books, but there's certain ones that, you know, like, oh, that's interesting. And there's also some that are, you know, seems like, well, that's just a repeat of, you know, the last trilogy, or someone's just drifting off of another character or somewhat. So give your perspective on me. What makes a good story, but also what makes a good Star Wars story?
You know, to me, sorry to jump ahead of you, Randy.
Go ahead. Yeah.
It really gets into how do you put me in that Star Wars universe? Mm-hmm. It's not all the story to me. It's not all the characters. Cause, I mean, me and Randy have talked about the MedStar trilogy. Mm-hmm. And really not a lot happened in those books, but they were such good reads because you really felt like you were going through everything with those characters. And for Star Wars, I think the language is a big piece too. When you're just talking about, you know, pieces in a room, you're talking or animals or the sky, they use Star Wars language that kind of brings you back into that universe. It doesn't seem like a real place. It puts you there. I don't know if that makes sense. But for me, yes, in a Star Wars book, that's extremely important to make it actually feel like Star Wars and it's not just a normal story.
I love that answer, by the way. That really was it.
I think that's one of the reasons they kind of started with a clean slate, because they weren't, maybe they felt like, maybe Disney or, you know, maybe Lucasfilm felt like they needed to start fresh because they had left readers behind because of all the terminology, you know. It's funny. I think if you talk to a lot of Legends readers, that's part of the universe. Like, we understood what calf was. We know what a fresher is. We know, you know, because that is the universe we've invested in. And if you hear, you know, a watch instead of a chrono, or you hear, it takes you out of the,
yeah,
it takes you out of the realm of imagination, and it puts you back on Earth. And that's not what I'm looking for in my entertainment. You know, these books are my entertainment. And so here's one of the things that I know takes me out of, one of the things I really find a struggle, and this is answering your question you didn't ask, but sort of at the same time. One of the things that I really struggle with Star Wars books is the fact that when they throw a lot of names, especially Star Wars names, at you, because it's really hard to keep those kind of things in your mind's eye, to keep them separated. And that's one of the things I'm struggling with the new books, is they're throwing so many new characters at once that I kind of like, I'm not saying I shut down, but I really struggle to keep an order. Focus. And I'm listening to the audiobook. And so, you know, rather than reading, and that's easier for me to read because I'm a really slow reader. And so, you know, it's really difficult, whether I'm seeing the words on the page or listening, it's a real, real difficult thing for me to continue to track the story when I don't know, you know, who the characters are in the room talking, because they're all the names kind of sound similar.
Sure.
So I've always felt like if they can hook you real, you know, if they can hook you early and if the authors can make some sort of, like, that's one of the things that I'm not even, this is how excited I am. I'm not even answering my or finishing my sentences, but, for example, the Thrawn trilogy, Timothy Zahn always started with the Empire, and that's how the original trilogy always started. It always started with an Imperial scene, mm-hmm. and then it moved to something else. But you knew who the characters were to kind of start out with, and then more characters were introduced later on, and then you became endeared to those new characters. And so that's what I feel like is it has to be to start out with. It's got to be characters that that you can learn their names quickly and you can get invested real fast. There's been books where I've read where I haven't been caught in that first, you know, chapter or two, and I've had to power through or just had to put the book down because it wasn't fun to read because I couldn't get invested in the characters.
Well, it's like reading Tolstoy or Jane Austen sometimes. There's so many characters, and you literally have to take a notebook out sometimes, uh-huh. and make a little bit of a map. And quite honestly, for me, and this is what I tell my students too, sometimes when the names are hard to pronounce or don't just come naturally off the tongue, it's hard to initially invest in them when they feel unfamiliar to you. You know, so, for every Luke Skywalker, there's a Corran Horn or a, you know, what have you. You know, insert an infinite amount of consonants in a word, and it makes it hard to grasp onto. So I like what you're saying. I think too that a good story, like this is one of the problems I had with when I just saw Spectre. And Corey and I haven't talked about this. I know it's in the James Bond podcast. Uh-huh. But as strong as Skyfall was, Spectre took a step backwards because there are surface attempts at depth. But to me, I like, and Corey and I debated this actually quite prolifically when we saw Guardians of the Galaxy together. But I want to think when I see a story. I to me, to be entertained is to be provoked into thinking about things in ways I never thought about before, and to analyze and to look at these characters and see their arcs, see the development. And I want to see a lot of excitement and action. And you can't have a Star Wars book without action. But it's these characters and these character studies that make Star Wars so powerful and so
absolutely
so bright and vibrant for me.
And that's mm-hmm. how Star Wars started. Yeah, I mean that's the foundation of Star Wars is those original characters. And when you can create that same feeling with new characters and with other characters, that makes it feel like Star Wars.
For sure.
And I mean that's what Star Wars is. It's Han Solo. I mean, and now we have this huge arc. It's Han Solo saying, you know, it's all simple tricks and nonsense, and now saying it's all real. I mean, it's the development of the character. It's the changing of a worldview. It's
right, and it doesn't happen overnight either. Like it's
absolutely
more natural. Think about the human dynamic and who we are as people, and how we have changed, and we still find ourselves relearning certain lessons over and over again. It makes these characters more vibrant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's very, very true.
Well, like you said too, guys, I mean, what makes a good story? It's one we can relate with. The ones that, mm-hmm. you know, we're crestfallen and upset when they're upset. And I know we've had loss and we can relate. The books that are so unique to us, the ones that make us feel emotionally, the one book that makes you cry and mm-hmm. didn't expect you to cry. You know, I'm reading Of Mice and Men, and I didn't as a teenager, and I cried. I'm not that much of a crier, and I felt so much for these characters because they've been through such trials, and you know maybe I've been through trials, and exactly.
And you knew you weren't dead inside.
Yeah, well, no, but I mean, but it's these books that bring out the you know our fears and our hopes and our dreams that we can relate to the most. And even if it has Star Wars on the front too, if it does that, then you know we can relate to it, and that's what makes it a great story.
Well said.
Sometimes I'm and if you listen to our podcast, Luke and I are a balance of this. I feel like sometimes I'm just too easy. Like if it's got Star Wars on the front, I'll read it, I'll buy it, I'll do whatever. Mm-hmm. Luke is very much he's more what's the word? I don't know.
Critical, I guess.
That sounds negative, but
I know.
Not at all. It's not an academia. Doesn't it? Just sounds like an honest, discerning way to try to analyze through rhetoric.
That's what Luke is right there. That is. I'm not that. I'm like, oh, it's got Star Wars on it. You know. Oh, it's a coloring book. You know. That's me, and so that's how I love it so much that I'll take whatever you throw at me. So, and that's. That makes me a fan, but not the best podcast host.
No, I disagree. You need to have passion, and you need to know what you're talking about. And you guys have that in spades.
Well, there's one scene, and I'm not going to give too much detail because eventually I want to do a review of this series. But there's a scene in the Legacy of the Force series where Jason and Jaina Solo have conflict. And they're twins, and that scene to me, it's my favorite scene of all the expanded universe. And unfortunately, Dan, you missed that because that happened after Chewie died and the Yuuzhan Vong and all that kind of stuff. But mm-hmm. there's one particular scene. It's my favorite scene in all of the Legends line of books, and it is so intense. And it was. It's tragic, and it's
amazing, and there's redemption, and so it's all of that. It's tense, it's tragedy, it's redeeming, it's and so you can hear I'm not communicating very well because I just
piqued my interest.
Yeah. it's the coolest scene for me because it really embodies everything that we've been talking about so far, as far as like character development, great conflict, the moral dilemma, that, you know, all of the nobility of the good characters and the evilness of the bad, you know, of the bad characters. And it is, to me, that particular scene is that's the thumbnail for all the good books. Yeah.
And it feels real.
It does. And it's,
authenticity in a fictional universe, verisimilitude.
Yeah. Yeah. That, you guys are super smart.
Well, I don't know about that. We just like you guys, we read a lot and we love talking about Star Wars. And speaking of loving talking about Star Wars, it's time for the mystery question. That's not a mystery. Okay. So you mentioned I, Jedi before, you guys did. And I was actually, it's ironic that you did, because when I was creating these questions today, when Corey and I were talking about them, we started thinking about different ways that these genres are present. You know, you've got the cross sections, you've got young adolescent novels, you've got coloring books, you've got all kinds of things in Star Wars. But what's really rare is first person narratives. Mm-hmm. So why do you two think that first person narratives are so scarce in Star Wars? And is that a good thing? Because you remember when Heir to the Jedi came out and people said it was going to be a first-person Luke narrative, there was a lot of head-scratching with that one.
Well, personally, I've never read I, Jedi, so I'm not really sure about that.
Nor have I.
But I don't know if it's just the writer's perspective of wanting to write about more characters and not wanting to commit to one. Maybe they want to, you know, have more fun. Hey, I want to write from the point of view from all these characters, not just first-person view of Luke Skywalker or whoever it may be. So I don't know if that's just the author trying to do that, or I don't know. I mean, a lot of books seem to be third-person, so it is kind of different, but I don't know. I'm kind of rambling on with this.
No, I know.
Without a direct answer.
No, I don't know. But I mean, there's not really one of the reasons I like this question is because it doesn't have a direct answer, and it just promotes this discussion because, you know, whether you're in the story or you're outside of the story and you're an omniscient narrator or a third person limited narrator, there's still different styles. And before I hear Randy's, Corey, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, the way I think about it, I think of from my perspective as a writer myself, you know, Star Wars is a host of different characters. And I think when somebody's looking to read a Star Wars book, they're looking to see multiple points of view. What's the Empire think about this? What's, you know, the Rebellion think about this? Or what's Han think about this? You know, so I think they're trying to jump minds as much as they can to get, you know, all different aspects, giving that Star Wars field. Because it's not necessarily just one person's story. This is the galaxy's story. And you know, what you got, you mentioned, Luke, it's narrowing it down to someone who, you know, stands out from the crowd. And you talk to Heir of the Jedi, it's difficult time getting into that book because it was first person. I kept thinking, okay, this is something Luke would be thinking right now. This is after the, you know, the first battle, and he's looking to, you know, get on with his life and go. And, you know, it's an interesting time. You know, what's he going to move on? What's he thinking right now? Is he's getting into his Jedi training and whatnot? And some of the thoughts he had, I thought, well, why would he think that? You know, why? How do they really know what Luke would think? And it's so difficult to tell that sometimes with characters that we love so much. It's like you said, you mentioned James Bond, and someone takes an interpretation of that from that point of view, and it's their interpretation. So it's not necessarily, you know, everybody else is looking in on this person from their points of view, and you get their mindset, but you can only see that one person's focus throughout the entire novel. And, you know, sometimes it's difficult to get into. But I think from their standpoint as an author, you know, what's the best story I can tell looking to hit certain points or move the character forward in motion as far as their growth. So, you know, I think it's something that an author has struggled with, but I think in the Star Wars universe, it's better to go with third person because there's such a host of characters.
Hmm. Randy, what about you?
If you look inside the minds of the characters, the main characters, I think that it is, it's almost like holy ground, you know? It shouldn't be easy to figure out. You know, one person shouldn't be able to write the thoughts of Luke Skywalker and everyone say, yeah, that's how Luke would do it, you know? And if that person could, you know, they would make incredible amounts of money. But I think that the reason it hasn't been used in the past is because there's a mystery to it. There's, and it's holy ground. You know, the movies, we always wondered what Luke was thinking. We always wondered what was going on in the mind of Han Solo or in the mind of, you know, what's going on in the mind of Chewie or the inner conversation. We weren't privy to the inner conversation, you know, as Han Solo and Princess Leia were falling in love. You know, that's something that we observed, but it's not something that we were a part of as far as their inner conversation and their personal talk. And so I think that it's holy ground. I don't think that it would work to put a bunch of books out that are just from that first person perspective, because those characters, they belong to us, but those are characters that are from the mind of George Lucas. And for somebody to put their own spin on the personality and the inner thoughts of the characters that we love so much, it's almost like, you better get this right, pal, or, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just too difficult of a need to meet. And so in a way it is, in my opinion, you know, it's just holy ground. We shouldn't go there, because it'd just be too difficult to, it would be really difficult for somebody to write that and say, yep, they nailed it. You know, it should be mysterious. They shouldn't be questions that are answered definitively. We should be able to say, no, I think Han Solo was thinking this, or, I mean, that's the joy of seeing Han Solo show up at the end of A New Hope and say, let's blow this thing and get out of here, kid, because you weren't expecting it. And when you look inside the mind of someone, that you kind of lose that mystery, I guess.
Right.
So
And honestly, to be honest, and you know, Corey can speak to this more than I, because most of my writing has been academic based, not dialogue and fiction. But I think a first person is more challenging to write.
Yeah.
And the people and the authors who are writing are obviously professionals. They're obviously incredibly fantastically skilled when it comes to being a wordsmith. But first person is a different genre. It's a different approach. It really is. And you can have first person still reveal everything. There are a lot of incredible first person novels. My favorite novel of all time is Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, of first person. And you know everything just from this naive, uneducated boy's view of the world and how he discerns and disseminates information that comes across his visual spectrum. And it's great, but you know, Mark Twain is pretty rare. The Star Wars authors we have are incredibly gifted and poignant in their verbiage, and they have a style. And honestly, I'm not sure we'll have to ask the story group sometime or one of the other authors. I'm pretty sure they give you carte blanche to approach it any way that you choose. Mm. But third person does give you a more of a wide range. And even though there is ambiguity in Star Wars, which we like because it allows us to open up, as you said, Randy, to open up some dialogue and discourse, I think the third person just offers a different view that has obviously been very successful.
I think with Star Wars, third person is just what it just works, because if you look at the movies too, you're getting the Empire's view, you're getting the scoundrel with Han, you're getting Luke Skywalker's story, you're getting all these stories in one. So when you read the books, you're kind of getting that too. You're getting the good guy's story, you're getting the bad guy's story. So it just kind of feels more whole and everybody's getting what they want. Kind of what Corey said.
No, I agree with that. That's good. That's good. Now, I think the other part of that too, of reading a novel, is kind of knowing too much. I guess in other words, saying, was it necessary to have a backstory, and when is it acceptable for something in Star Wars universe to be more ambiguous?
mean, I guess you're right there because, I mean, the original trilogy was so good because we didn't really know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wasn't born yet, but I'm sure before Empire Strikes Back came out, everybody was wondering what was going on. Darth Vader, oh, he killed Anakin and all this stuff. So, I mean, Han Solo, what's his backstory? I mean, I guess without Legends, we don't really know anything about that. So, I mean, there is a lot of question marks. What do you think, Randy?
I think it gets, you know, it gets to the ridiculous when, like, Stormtrooper number 7 has a backstory or whatever, you know.
Yes.
But at the same time, again, if a backstory endears you to a character or makes you despise a character more, I'm down for it. I'm willing to give it a try or, you know, invest in the story. As long as it's salty, as long as it's, you know, as long as it piques my curiosity, and then I think that all the characters are fair game, you know, but the character has to be,
worthwhile.
Again, yeah, it has to be, yeah, you know, I shouldn't say that because there's characters that have been written that, you know, never saw screen time. Like I would love to know the backstory of Winter, you know, but because there's no backstory, I would be really curious. But maybe if the backstory was written, I there wouldn't be that mystery. So as long as there's a blend of characters that I don't know about that I wish I did, like sometimes just the wishing is enough, you know. And then when you get it, it's just kind of like the bonus. Like Plagueis was enough that little snippet of information that Darth Sidious told us about, that was enough. But then James Luceno hits a home run with his book, and you know, and it was amazing, you know. So to answer the question, I guess as long as a character that we actually want to hear about,
yeah.
I guess is the trick. I'm not a writer. I'm not an author. So there's reasons that authors choose one character over another to write about. I'm down to whatever they write. I'm willing to give whatever they write. If it's got Star Wars on it, whatever they write, I'm willing to give it a shot. So
yeah, I can agree with that. And you know, I think sometimes when books fail, and I think even furthermore, in television shows fail more recently in my memory, is when you see an episode, you're looking to graduate these characters into the next episode. I feel like we meet new characters, and all of a sudden that new character dies that episode, or you know, you're thinking like, well, wasn't this just filler? What did they get from this? You know, they just, well, you know, my memory goes to The Walking Dead or the most recent Gotham series on Fox. You know, we carry these characters through some of these scenes and stuff, but you know, only the big stuff happens in the beginning and the end of the episode. And I'm thinking, well, why do we have this episode? You know, I guess it's looking to see a new dynamic on what the twists and tales are going to be. And like you guys mentioned too, it's, you know, is it going to relate back into, you know, the season finale or, you know, the third book of the trilogy? Are they going to tie it right back into that person's death or that person's, you know, decision to do something? Then again, you know, I've read pages and pages of paragraphs of characters that fizzle out and go nowhere. I'm going, why was this here? Was this just filler? I mean, I haven't read all the Harry Potter novels, but I know some of those kind of go that way in my opinion. You know,
they don't.
Well, Twilight. How about Twilight? Is that?
That's not.
We can all.
Yeah. I'll try. I like to keep my thoughts positive, but if we talk Twilight, I won't be able to do.
I might attempt to sum it up that in all the questions that you guys have asked, and as we continue to discuss Legends Library, you know, on the Legends Library podcast, you know, what makes a good story, and we've talked about character, and you know, talked a little bit about plot, but it seems as though if it's complete, like it, you know, like in a marriage, you know, finances is not that big a deal unless it's a big deal. Then it's a big deal. You know, if something is missing, it's a big deal. If it's not missing, then it's not really. It's just part of a larger picture. So if you have great characters but a bad plot or no hook, then
you don't have a story to tell, or if you've got a great plot but you can't get to where you believe a character's motivation, you don't have a story. So I think that it has to be complete, like in a Star Wars book or with any book, you know, it has to be complete. It has to have those elements there. It's got to have conflict. It's got to have redemption or tragedy. It's got to have characters that you can relate to. It can't just be a bad guy of the week. It's got to have a villain that you can actually see where he got there to his evilness, you know. It's all got to be there. And for Star Wars books, for us, for me anyway, a lot of those books, there's a lot of those kind of books in the Legends line. And that's why we love it so much. I know there's a lot of bad stuff too, but there's so much, you know, over 200 books. You can't hit a home run every time. And that's all I have to say about that.
All right, gentlemen. Well, we appreciate so much your honest and intellectual discussion here on Coffee with Kenobi. It's sometimes, I don't know about you, Corey, but when they were talking, I just sort of felt like I was sitting back listening to Legends Library, which is exactly why. And if you're subscribed to our feed, then you automatically get Legends Library. And based on what Corey and I have seen, you guys do gangbusters every time you put out a show. You do such a wonderful job and continue the discussion going. And we appreciate that so very much. But before we let you go, we have to ask you our five questions.
All right. Awesome.
Here we go.
Let's do it. So, gentlemen, we'll give you the option. Randy, would you like to answer all of them first and then Luke, or would you like to answer them together?
You can go ahead. They're kind of individual, I guess.
Yeah, so. Let's one at a time. Let's take them one at a time.
Sure. All right, let's do it. Okay. So, guys, what is your favorite Star Wars movie? Randy, we'll start with you for these.
I'm going to say Empire. I'm going to say Empire because I don't know why. I just because I love them all. And this is probably okay. Wait. Okay. Hold on. I changed my mind. I'm going to say okay. Wait. Here we go. I'm going to say if I'm allowed to. I'm not sure. You guys can throw a yellow flag here. But I'm going to say the Mortis trilogy.
If I may.
Oh yeah.
How about this? Well, it'll be a bonus because it is favorite Star Wars movie, not favorite Star Wars story. But
okay.
But I find no fault with your logic.
Okay, that's it. That's my favorite. Cool.
Well, for me, it's a very tough one. But I'm gonna go. If you take out the Ewoks, Return of the Jedi. Because they took down my Empire boys. So. It's pretty depressing every time I watch it, watching bow and arrows kill stormtroopers and armor. It's supposed to be worth something. So.
Every time I watch that,
I'm like, how is that arrow going through his armor? What are you wearing that for?
Well, when I get my Anovos armor, Corey has graciously offered to shoot me with a bow and arrow. So
we'll
I'll
make
let
this
you
happen,
know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let us know how that pans out.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Send a picture.
So the next question is your favorite Star Wars character. And I guess, do you want Daniel give him a pass for a Legends Library character, if that may be?
Oh, sure. Yeah, just his favorite character. Sure. Absolutely.
Makes it so much harder.
Okay, I'm going to...
Since it's you guys, you could do both if you wanted.
Okay. Yeah, I'll be quick. So my favorite characters are Jaina Solo, as far as the Legends line, Jaina Solo and Mara Jade. But my favorite Star Wars character all the way around is Yoda. I love how he was introduced as a character and revealed as a character. The line at the very end of Episode 3 where he's, where he owns it and he says, you know, he takes all of the weight of the of the galaxy on his shoulders and he says, failed I have, you know, to exile I must go. Though they were arrogant, he still owned it. And he, I just really appreciate that and how he was introduced to us as a character. And Frank Oz did an incredible job. And Mark Hamill for making that look like a person, make it feel like a person. Just incredible. I love Yoda. He's a cool character.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with, from the Legends, I'm going to go with Thrawn. Just because Timothy Zahn was able to make a bad guy out of somebody with no powers, no force, abilities or anything. He's just a genius tactician that is able to bring the New Republic to its knees and almost win the war. And as for the movies, I want to go with Boba Fett, but I'm going to go with Obi-Wan Kenobi. Just because throughout the movies, you just, I mean, he's technically in basically every movie, but there's just such a loss at the end of episode 3, and you can just kind of see it. And for him to just sit on Tatooine and just wait for Luke, and just, he has this mission and he's sticking to it. He could have went out and done his, did his own things, but he's just waiting, and he's just a very loyal person.
Well said, well said. And of course, we love all those characters. And honestly, I have a hard time sometimes figuring out if I want to say Vader or Yoda. My favorite, but I usually go with Vader just a little bit, but it, you really can't go wrong with any of the characters that you all mentioned. So, gentlemen, what is your favorite line of dialogue or film moment?
You know, having listened to pretty much every Coffee with Kenobi episode, this is really a cool moment for me because I've wanted to answer this question. I have in my car many times. Just so you know that.
I thought I heard you.
Sorry, my ears are burning.
It's really loud. So there's a scene in A New Hope when, and I think somebody's mentioned this before, but where Luke says, how did my father die? And Alec Guinness, in a prophetic, I don't know if it's been changed because of the, you know, the special edition, if they did this to his eyes or if this was actually the original performance. But right before Alec Guinness answers that question, he kind of, his eyes get shifty. And he says, you know, he kind of tells the story of how his father was struck down by Vader. And I've always seen that. I wish I had like an original copy to see if that was his actual facial expression. Cause if it was,
it is.
That just amazes me that Alec Guinness knew the motivation of his character, whether he knew it straight out or he just played that character so well that he knew he was lying to Luke at that time. And none of us did. And he didn't even know the rest of that story. But when his eyes get shifty, and if for those of you listeners that are out there, you know what I'm talking about. And if you don't, if you go back and you watch that scene, and Luke says, "How does my father die? How did my father die?" And he kind of puts his, you know, he kind of folds his arm and he kind of puts his, you know, his chin in his hand, and he kind of, his eyes get kind of shifty. He takes a deep breath as if to say, "I'm about to lie to this kid," and he just lays it out there like it's truth. That is my favorite line of dialogue or scene.
So. All right. Well, mine, I'm going to go to Return of the Jedi, and it's going to start with basically Darth Vader and Luke fighting, and Luke's kind of hiding and Darth Vader's walking around talking to him. And I don't know if this is on purpose or not, but when you see Luke's face, you see like it's split, like half it's red, half it's blue from the color. And it's like you feel the conflict inside him of the anger that's building up, and especially when he says, you know, oh, well, perhaps your sister will. And then he attacks, you know, he obviously goes after Vader out of anger, but it's just like that fight between him. And then that whole scene with the music as they're fighting, I always get goosebumps every single time. And then, you know, Darth Vader throwing Emperor down the shaft, just turning on everything, all the choices that he's made to save his son. So some great scene right there.
That's, I can just hear the music too when you guys.
I get goosebumps every time right there.
Well, good stuff.
Well, I'm going back to watch that.
Yeah, there you go. We can all go back.
Yeah.
We'll wait. Yeah, I don't know if you can hear me, Rainey, but the original, Alec Guinness does the exact same thing. Luckily, they didn't mess with that at all. That was just his acting intuition.
Wow. Wow, that just makes it, for me, that makes it supernatural, like almost like a prophetic, like, you know, I've read his second memoirs, and he was just such a humble man, and I don't know, I just have much admiration for Alec Guinness.
Well, it plays to the strength of Lucas as a director, too, which he doesn't often get enough credit for, but he obviously instilled in Sir Alec Guinness the importance of that moment.
Good call.
Yeah.
So, guys, if you collect, what is your favorite collectible that you own?
Well, I'm only missing a few of the hardcover Legends books. I'm just the really expensive ones, like the Mind Harp of Sharu and that kind of, those are like a couple hundred bucks on eBay. But I have a copy of the Han Solo trilogy written by A.C. Crispin, and it's the Sci-Fi Book Club version, so it's the three of them bound together.
Cool.
And it's autographed. And so I had purchased it just before she died. And so that's my favorite collectible because it has that sentimental value to it. But I would say that would be my favorite. And I do collect, and I have so many books that I do.
You have a Legends library?
Yeah, literally.
my library is very legendary. I don't like to brag.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a big deal.
as for me, man, I'd love to go through all those action figures that my parents have and just go through those. But sadly, they're all out of the box. Mm-hmm. But actually, a couple months ago, my wife was down at like this big antique thing down in Phoenix. And there was an original 1977 puzzle of basically the Yavin 4 hangar when they're getting all the X-Wings ready. And so she got that and we put it together and I'm trying to figure out what I want to do with it. I don't know if I want to put it in a frame and try to like glue it together, but then kind of ruin it. So I'm on the fence what I want to do with it. But that's probably my favorite one.
That's awesome. Yeah. I don't know what I would do either because as soon as you do that and put it together, that's it. You're stuck literally and figuratively. With it like that. Yeah. So it's a good problem to have. I definitely feel your pain.
It's a very puzzling dilemma.
Ah, very good. Well said. Good gamesmanship. Okay. So, gentlemen, what particular messages or themes about the Star Wars saga resonate or speak to you?
Oh, well, this isn't a secret. If you've listened to Legends Library enough, you know that I'm very much into or a proponent of absolute truth. Being a pastor, it's part of my worldview that there is an absolute truth. And so one of the themes that is reoccurring in the movies and in the books is the fact that absolute truth typically wins the day. The whole certain point of view got the Jedi in trouble and led to their demise. I see the hypocrisy when Anakin says, either you're for me or against me. And, Ben Kenobi follows with an absolute truth, an absolute statement by saying, only the Sith deal in absolutes. All through the Legends line of books and all through the movies, that's what I use, because being a pastor is like, well, it's, so new agey or whatever. People kind of criticize my fandom sometimes. Well, it's Star Wars. And that's kind of an old argument anyway, but, Star Wars is so new agey, and you're a pastor, how do you justify that? The people that are a little bit more critical of others that, are not as gracious as others, I guess I should say. Mm-hmm. And so that's always what I, if there's a banner that I carry, that there is an absolute truth. There is a right and there is a wrong. And it's foundational. It's imprinted on us because we have a creator and we've been created by an intelligent creator who is a creator of order. And there is right and there is wrong. And even if you're a Sith, if you believe in absolute and you use the fact that right is right and wrong is wrong, then truth wins the day, even if you're a Sith. And I think that's why Palpatine won the day, is because he didn't lie. He spoke the truth and he won the day. At the same time, the Jedi were saying, misread the prophecy could have been, or, that's right from a certain point of view, or, and if we look at the very end of the trilogy or the very end of the saga, where Luke throws his lightsaber down and says, no, and he makes an absolute statement by saying, I am a father I am a Jedi like my father before me. He puts his name on it and says, no, I am a Jedi like my father before me. In other words, saying, this is an absolute truth. And I am unshaken because this is so much a part of who I am. So I'm preaching. I know that. But at the same time.
No, it's great. It makes me wish I was in your congregation.
So anyway, I do get a chance to talk to kids a lot and to speak to youth groups and stuff. And so I use that as some motivation and a hook because everybody loves Star Wars. And so, yeah. Anyway, back to my goofy Star Wars Legends library-ness instead of pastor hat. So that's my answer.
It's a beautiful answer. I think it was about as well answered as that question has ever been. But rumor has it that Luke's got something ready too.
That's put the pressure on me. Well, first of all, I got to commend you guys on the question because as Star Wars, I feel like it's so mythological. There's so many different themes going on through all the movies, especially the original trilogy, that it really gives people a lot of answers to pick from. And I'm going to have to go with just the overall theme of there being the chosen one of the Force. And in the end, Vader is redeemed and, you know, performs that prophecy. But even if, like, bring back the legends a little bit, if we go into that, and we kind of talked about it with Alex Damon and Randy on our Plagueis episode with the Force, we kind of decided the Force created Anakin out of the fact that the dark side was taking over and needed to balance itself. So just the fact of the balance and the prophecy, I really love that theme throughout the whole thing and just Vader's redemption in the end. So I'd have to go with that.
That's a great answer. I think, Corey, I think we can retire that question. These two have,
there you go.
They've nailed it. They've nailed it. Very well. Well done, guys. So of course, we couldn't, I've done Coffee with Kenobi or anything that we do without you guys, your support, your knowledge, your passion, and your amazing show, Legends Library. Tell our listeners, if you would, and of course they probably already know this anyway, how they can get in touch with you and hear more about Legends Library.
Well, if you want to go on Twitter and follow us along with Coffee with Kenobi, we are Legends Library. L's are both uppercase. And then on Facebook, it's Legends Library Podcast. And then Randy, you want to shoot out that email?
Yeah. We're at Legends Library at coffeewithkenobi.com. And so if you have an opportunity to check out our show as well as Comics with Kenobi, they do a great job. All the bloggers, we have incredible authors as well. So not just our show, if you have an opportunity to check out the Coffee with Kenobi website and check out all the bloggers because they are a very talented group of people. And of course, Dan and Corey's show, you're already listening to that, but
check it out. I feel like you guys got everything Star Wars covered now. I mean, you got the comics, you got Legends, you guys cover all the news. I mean, you got Rebels. So I feel like you got the whole universe covered right now.
I know we're sort of two minds and have to do a live action show because, man, that would be awesome. But then we'd have to do another show too.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, it's a wonderful, glorious time to be a Star Wars fan. And a major reason for that is people like you guys, Randy and Luke. So thank you again so much for being a guest on Coffee with Kenobi. We'll have to do this much more regularly than once every couple of years because I had a wonderful time speaking with you guys. It's just so long overdue.
Right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having us on.
Thank you. It's been a lot of fun. And sometime we'll have to pick a book out and have you guys join us for the book review.
Yeah, that'd be fun. We should do that.
Oh, we would love that. We would absolutely love that.
Maybe the iJedi one. That would be cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd love to dig into that.
Done.
Our topic for show number 48 is Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. Scott Murray returns as we finish our recap of the 6 existing Star Wars films. This discussion will be about what worked in The Phantom Menace, as well as the examination of the legacy it left behind and powerful storytelling elements presented here. Be sure to send us an email, MP3, with your thoughts, comments, questions, and opinions to feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com.
I like the sound of that.
Echo 3 to Echo 7. Hano, buddy, do you read me?
I saw part of the message.
I seem to have found it.
Our first email comes from our friend Jason Hamilton of Far, Far Away Radio, and he's got this awesome new YouTube channel that puts an academic spin on Star Wars, which, of course, we can relate to because we love perpetuating the looking at Star Wars through a critical lens, and Jason does that as well as anybody. He's got this new YouTube channel called Geek University. It examines popular fandoms and provides academic insights into the story. The channel basically has 3 episodes per week, and here's how it's broken down. On Tuesdays, they have a video essay discussing the geek franchise and how it relates to the world, religions, philosophies, history, art, science, and more. On Fridays, he's got a video delving into the real-world history of the franchise. And Saturdays is a video exploring the lore story of the franchise. And from now through the end of April, the channel is going to look at Star Wars topics including the Ring Theory, mythology, The Force Awakens, World War II, the science of super weapons, and much more. There's all this potential here, too, Corey Scott. He's going to look at Marvel Comics, DC, Lord of the Rings, Halo, Assassin's Creed, Doctor Who, Star Trek, and many, many other possibilities. It's created by Jason Hamilton in association with StoryHobby.com. It's going to bring academic appreciation and geek culture and have fun while doing so. So it's pretty, pretty cool. We'll probably have Jason on sometime to talk more about it. Maybe we'll even be on the show, which will be a lot of fun. So be sure to check it out and subscribe. All of you who listen to Coffee with Kenobi probably know Jason's work. He's written some articles for StarWars.com. He's just a good guy. We actually sat by him for Rebels Season 2's premiere in Anaheim. So I got to pick his brain a little bit and had a nice conversation. Definitely going to be a channel worth checking out.
Yeah, it's interesting that all the different aspects that he brought into that as far as different cultures of geek, and then mixing history too. A lot of things that, you know, I think of when I see Star Wars is how it relates to, you know, religions and histories and just things that we naturally go on in our life and how it relates. And it's something we try to do on our show as well, too, as far as kind of digging deeper into things and such. And I'm excited to see this and check it out on his channel here. So very cool.
Chewie, get us out of here!
If you would like to respond to our question of the show, have a comment, or just want to say hello, send us an email or MP3 at feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com. Or if you have a specific question or comment for either of us individually, email us at danz@coffeewithkenobi.com or coreyc@coffeewithkenobi.com or visit us at coffeewithkenobi.com and click on the Contact Us section or comment on one of the stories featured on the site. If you enjoy the show, please write a review in iTunes or Stitcher. You can also like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/coffeewithkenobi, as well as keep up to date at our Twitter feed @coffeewithkenobi. You can also find us on Tumblr at coffeewithkenobi.tumblr.com. If you enjoy the jazz music, the album is Eye to Eye by Steve Torak.
Give the evacuation code signal.
That's it for number 47 of Coffee with Kenobi. A huge thank you to Randy and Luke for joining us and discussing the Legends line. Be sure to listen to Legends Library once a month on Coffee with Kenobi's feed for great discussion and analysis of these classic Star Wars literature.
A special shout out to Mediocre Jedi, Mike Audette, Neil Lowry, Dennis Keithley, Angela Souse, Mark Suter, Jesse, and Torpedo Ted for their contributions to our Coffee with Kenobi Patreon page. By supporting our Patreon page, you too can win a Coffee Chat podcast of your own. Check out our website or the show notes for more information. You can also support the show by using our Amazon.com affiliate link, as well as by purchasing your The Force Awakens movie tickets through the banner on the front page of our website.
Thanks also to Rob from the Bearded Trio, media specialist Lisa Dillard, our Coffee with Kenobi bloggers, everyone to contribute to the show, and all of you out there who listen and email Coffee with Kenobi. Don't forget to send us your comments and opinions for the topic for show number 48, The Phantom Menace.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi, unless otherwise indicated.
There's no one here. Move along.